good conservative in a financial aspect of biblical Swift. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Looking at Psalm 24 and 1. Psalm 24 and 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." So that's letting us know this understanding that God owns everything, including our lives. Okay? The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So the first thing in understanding biblical stewardship is that we don't own nothing. And nothing ours. We can't have nothing, you know, it's God's. Everything we got, everything you can see, what you can't see, whatever, we don't have nothing. It's just bare. Just, we ain't got nothing. Just, okay? Ain't got, and I meant to say that. Genesis 1:26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Okay? So God has made us in his image, and what we want to understand here about stewardship is he's given us dominion, which means he's given us rule over the things in the earth, that he's allowing us to manage. Okay, so he's given us, so understanding that nothing is ours, we don't own it, but God has given us an opportunity to rule. Okay, thirdly, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Can you read? "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And so a steward manages the message and the ministry of God that God has entrusted to us. We take orders from Christ and we execute. And we are found faithful and we have to give an account as stewards. So again, backing up, understanding that we own nothing, that God has given us rule over certain things, but we have to be found faithful in those things. Amen? Okay, and then Matthew 28:19-20, I'm not going to read that, but that's the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and make disciples out of all nations." Okay, are we good stewards over there? Are we out making disciples? Are we out teaching and spreading the gospel of the good news? Okay, so that's a part of biblical stewardship. All right? That's a part of biblical stewardship with that. So drawing from these scriptures, stewardship. Stewardship is personal responsibility for taking care of another person's property or financial affairs. Historically, stewardship was the responsibility given household servants to manage household or domestic affairs. The term is used to refer to a responsibility to take care of something that one does not own. Everything that the steward manages belongs to the owner. In our case, we know everything belongs to God. He may give us authority over his goods and the property, but he owns it. The word Lord in Hebrew is Adonai. Okay? It means proprietor, owner, supreme authority, Adonai. And when we make Jesus Lord over our life, we're saying, I am no longer in control of my life, but I give my life to you. You are in control of everything. I do nothing without your guidance. Nothing without your guidance. It's just funny, looking at that, I was this morning, it was a picture of a lady, she was just prostrate on the floor, like, I just can't. It's like, I can't do nothing, you know, without you, Lord, nothing. It's dangerous. I've tried it, you know, just going, because I get all kind of ideas, Lord knows, you know, and they just come and come, okay, now, Lord had to teach me, okay, what's of me and what's not, you know, to have your God list and your good list. These are some good ideas, but is this where I directed you to go? So even with my thoughts and my ideas, I got to be a good steward over that because I'll be end up doing everything and everywhere. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay, Lord. All right. Thank you. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. For every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Again, everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. stewardship, Emily mentioned earlier about the goods and the services in the Old Testament. Stewardship is thought of mainly in terms of money, but stewardship involves every area of our lives, everything, home, business, work, church, social clubs, anything that you belong to, and we have a responsibility to those things. But biblically, we're talking time, talent, treasure, testimony, and one article I read even talked about our trash. You know, we even got to be good stewards over that because, this environment, this earth is God's, and we, just throw stuff out arbitrarily, then you're damaging the environment. And I was like, because I'm not really a recycler. That's in the Bible, trash. I don't know who wrote the article. I'm like, all right, let me find some bagging scriptures on it. But anyway, the earth is the Lord. That's the bagging scripture. It's his. Take care of it. Hello, somebody. All right, so time, talent, treasure, and testimony. And again, my focus tonight, I said it's supposed to be financial stewardship. So we'll see how that goes. But we are to be good stewards of our time. Time is a precious commodity. And most often, we don't seem to have enough of it. Jesus' ministry was 3 years. But he made the most of his time. Miracles, signs, wonders, deliverance, making disciples. And then he says, we are to do greater works. Now, I'm talking about me. I've had a ministry license for about 7 years. But yet, there's lots of work to be done. A lot of work to be done. Jesus did in 3 years. Some of us got a long way to go. But we have to be a good steward over that time. What are we doing with the time? We've got the title, we've got everything, but what are we doing with it? Is it just title only? God, he placed those gifts in us to do something with. And we've got to, manage those well. We have to manage those. Where am I? Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so we need to watch where we walk. Take advantage of the time that we have to serve. Be careful of people and things that rob our time. Those things could be used for serving the Lord. And we need to be able to balance our busyness, and that's a word for me. Again, because I get carried away, with things. And, like I said, good ideas, wanting to help people, wanting to do things, but you got to balance it out. And you don't want that thing to take God's time. If you find yourself too busy, not spending time with God, there's a problem. And that's a key indicator that some balance is needed there. With me, I'll set my agenda, and we know Holy Spirit can change those things. But just, like I said, be careful, phone calls that can wait. Is this important right now? Can this wait till later? And so those are some things that God has been teaching me as far as the time. Next, it says we are to be good stewards over our talents, which are our spiritual gifts. So let's look at Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so here we all have been given a measure of grace. We have gifts, and we each have been given a measure of grace with those gifts. And, So if we don't use them, how do you think that makes God feel? You know, he's taking his time. You know, he knew us even, I mean, he predestined us even before. And so he's taking his time with us. He, you know, just crafted us. And here we are standing here and we're not doing anything. You know, we don't want to make him feel like he's wasted his time with us. But just think if you, you know, take your time to select a gift for somebody. You know, you're excited. It's their birthday. It's their anniversary or whatever thing you're honoring them in. And you take your time. You know, the Lord giving you revelation on what gift about. And you give it to them. And they don't ever open it. You know, they never show appreciation for it. You know, you go over to their house. It's up under the, you know, table. And, you know, you feel some kind of way. And that's not being a good steward over that gift. You know, you just kind of toss it to the side. And so in with our spiritual gifts, just keep that in mind. There is something in each of us that God sees. There's use. He has use for each and every one of us. But we need to be good stewards over that. If he says you are an evangelist and you sleep all day and you ain't talking to nobody, that's not being a good steward. You know, I'm just talking about me. you know, I'm just talking about me. You go, you know, you're in the store or whatever, and you can see, you know, the Lord shows you, you can see people and what they're going through. You know, the Lord will show you these things. And you just casually walk by them because, you know, you got you and your kids and you got stuff and you don't have time. That's not being a good steward. That's not being a good steward over our gifts and our talents. Even with, you know, just speaking of talents, you know, singing or doing hair or whatever it is God has given us to do, we need to use it and use it for his glory. Amen? All right. Next, it says we are to be good stewards of our testimony. Be good stewards of our testimony. 1 Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. The Amplified says, but in your heart, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. And so here, what it is talking about your testimony. Why is it that you're saved? You know, be a good steward over that. Be able to tell people when someone asks you, well, why do you believe the way you do? You know, why do you love the Lord so much? Be ready to give a defense for that. You know, if first got saved, you may your testimony may sound like, well, I don't know, it just feel right. I just know I don't do the things, you know, I used to do anymore. You know, if that's it, that's it. And, you know, you be a good steward over that until you mature and can, you know, say a little more. You know, but just be a good steward over your testimony. Just, you know, be able to freely explain why it is that you love the Lord so much. You know, it's because Jesus died for me. You know, I can live abundantly. You know, he died for me. I'm justified. I'm an heir. Just, you know, just share that testimony. He snatched me out of the muck and mire. He took me out of the club. He took me out of the foul bed. You know, think, you know, just be able to explain it and do it courteously. And there are some who aren't going to believe, but like I shared at the evangelist workshop, we can't do mad witnessing. You know, you do it respectfully and you do it courteously. And then finally, we are to be good stewards of our finances or our treasures. And so in remembering everything belonging to God, including our money, we have to honor God in our giving. And the first thing we want to honor God with is our tithes. We want to give him that 10% of our income. Leviticus 27:30. A tenth of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. Giving, when we give, it makes us unselfish. You know, God gave Jesus to die for us. If he can give his son, why is it so hard for us to give 10%? Just the 10%. You don't ask for it all, just the 10%. So giving makes you unselfish. Giving draws us closer to God. Giving strengthens our trust in the Lord. Giving is an investment, and giving blesses. Tithing proves that you love God. His word says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the commandment in Malachi tells us to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So if we love God, those are things that we will do. We will bring our tithe, we will bring our tenth into the storehouse. And I know I can share personally, when I first got saved and, you know, learned of tithing, it was automatic. I didn't even think about it. You know, it was just off the top. But then life started happening, circumstances. I'm like, okay, you know, what happened? Where's the disconnect? And our money and our relationship with God go hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. They tie in together. But there was depression that had set in, mismanaging funds. I talked about that earlier. You know, we're the ward that's in stewardship. We're in prison by our own slothfulness or our own lack of managing our funds. And so that began to happen to me. So then it started being a choice. Am I going to pay my rent or am I going to tithe? You know, so then who are you truly serving? You can't serve two masters. You either going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon. And that's just kind of where I had gotten, you know, because I had been evicted before. I didn't want to go through that again. Like, Lord, I can't go through that again. And so now I'm at the crossroad. Okay, if I tithe, I might not have nowhere to stay. But you're not trusting God. You got to trust. And that's what giving does. It causes you to trust God. And so I just had an encounter one night. I was like, you know what? God, I'm with you all the way. It's just, you know, you said it. This is what I'm going to do. And so now tithing is just, you know, you don't even think about it. It just comes out automatically. You know, Uncle Sam gets his before you even see it. Yeah. His is already taken out. And so that's what we do with our tithe. We just take that out. If you know you make $1,200 every 2 weeks, no, I don't. I make $1,000 every 2 weeks. That 200 or whatever, I can't do the math right now. But whatever that amount, that 10%, just go ahead and take that off the top. If you're going over and beyond that, just go ahead and take it out. And don't even think about it. And then ask God to give you wisdom of what to do with the 90%. You know, and that was another area for me. I'm tithing, but I wasn't responsible with the 90%. Just because you're tithing, that don't automatically mean your other stuff going to be okay. You have to be a good steward over that because it still ain't yours. You gave God his, but guess what? The rest of it is his too. And so we have to go to him and ask him what to do with it, how to do it. And having a budget, you know, will help you manage that. You know, write the vision, make it plain. That can go for any area. And we got to have a vision for our money too. You want to be a blessing to other ministries. You want to sow into other people's ministries. You got to be able to have a plan to do that and still take care of your household. Amen. Amen. That's a word for me. let's see. Where am I? If you love me, keep my commandments. This steward over the 90. Okay. Secondly, okay, we're still talking about income, being a good steward. I'm sorry, I got warm. Being a good steward in honoring God in our giving and honoring God with our finances. And so God has given us the ability to create wealth. And I'm sorry, I didn't write that scripture down. I think it's in Deuteronomy, if anybody knows where that is. Is it Deuteronomy 8? Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Okay, thank you. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And so, you know, the word doesn't tell us how it's going to give us wealth, but he's given us the ability to get wealth. There's a difference. And so when I think about that, I think about the story where Jesus, they were having to pay their taxes. And they didn't have the money. And so he sent Peter to the water to fish. And he had already committed the money to the fish's mouth. But it's like, okay, well, why did he send Peter? Peter's occupation, you know, was a fisherman. So he knew Peter had what it took to go out and catch that fish. Mm-hmm. And so he's given each of us something to do to go out to catch our fish that already got the money in his mouth. So that, you know, and I appreciate Prophet Lindsay for pulling, because she pulls those things out of us when she sees it. But if we're not a good steward over what she tells us, then we're still going to be in the same place. You got to move. You got to put some action behind those things that we get, the prophecies and those things. But we have to be a good steward over that. If you know that God has given you the ability to write, but you never sit down and write anything, then you're robbing your household, you're robbing yourself, you're robbing God, because that's money that you can put back into the kingdom for what you're making. And then, you know, and I'm talking about me, you sit and claim, well, I ain't got no money. But you ain't doing nothing. You know, you're not doing anything. And so we have to be a good steward, and that's still going back. That ties in with our talents, too, the things that God has given us to do. Amen. So he has given us the ability to create wealth. Okay? Amen.
I just
want
to add something to that.
Sure.
I just want to piggyback on what you said about Peter, mm-hmm. Which is phenomenal in and of itself, but I think what people don't understand is when Jesus preached his first public message, it was in Peter's boat. Mm. Peter, remember, mm-hmm. Peter gave, when Jesus called Peter, Peter went back and told his dad, okay, we're getting ready to leave this and follow mm-hmm. Lord. They didn't just leave the fishing business, but he took the boat and gave it to Jesus too. You know?
Wow, yeah.
And so when Jesus, his first pulpit was Peter's boat. Uh-huh. Wow. Peter gave him his boat, and mm-hmm. Jesus turned around, and whenever he would give the boat back to Peter, when mm-hmm. he was out preaching, and there were times when Peter would be frustrated in business. He would go out fishing and catch anything. You know, Peter would be frustrated. Why? Mm-hmm. I've been fishing all my life. I can't catch anything. Mm-hmm. But because Peter loaned that boat to the Lord, mm-hmm. it was God's obligation to prosper Peter in that boat.
Wow.
So Jesus told Peter exactly where to go back in the water, uh-huh. and he commanded a school of fish to be right there. And uh-huh. the Bible says that when Peter cast that net, he pulled up such a, I think the Old Testament term is drought. Uh-huh. I mean, the Old King James version is drought. He pulled up so much fish that the net broke.
Jesus.
Wow.
So another thing, you're talking about stewardship. Mm-hmm. You know, when we give God those things, he gives it back to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't outgive the Lord.
Right.
And so Peter, he gave the Lord that book. He said, hey, you need some place to preach? You can just preach mm-hmm. on my boat.
Yeah.
And Jesus turned around and gave him, a tremendous, mm-hmm. you're talking about an overflow blessing from that boat.
Amen.
So I just thought I'd add that because sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, like you mm-hmm. said, God requires so many things from us, mm-hmm. and we, you know, fussing and kicking, but Lord, what about this? God was like, you don't understand that when you release your hand, then I can release my hand.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And then some of the, that was good, some of the requirements for giving when we give, we must do it willingly.
Mm-hmm.
We can look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verses 3-9. It says, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents, and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. And so here it lets us know we need to give willingly. Give willingly. That, you know, no court. You sit in some services and you coerce into giving, and you do it just because you feel like you're getting beat up. That, you know, That's not giving. Me too. I've been there too. Guilty. That's not giving willingly. So, you know, that's like, no, God desires us to give willingly. You've already purposed in your heart what you're going to give, you know, before you leave. And so I'm just saying, don't let anybody coerce you into into giving.
Yeah.
You know, I've stood in the lines myself, and I remember getting in one line, and the preacher was going on, you know, about the blessings and the blessings and the blessings. I mean, it was a pretty big church. I was lined up, you know. And so if everybody had $100 that was in that line, I'm thinking, good gracious, you know, that's some money. But then he said his next thing is, once the people, you know, they got the music going and everybody going down and dropping their money, then he says, but if you're not a tither, it's not going to work for you.
Wow.
And you can see, you know, everybody in it, because it's like this big revival thing. So people just come and say, you know, everybody wasn't a tither, but they wanted, you know, that quick blessing from that seed he was asking them to release. And then once they get started, then he says, but if you're not a tither, it's not going to work. Now, some people was going to sit down. He said, no, don't get out of line. I was like, what in the world is this?
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Luke 21, 1 through 4, and that's the story of the widow when she gave her last. And the others to give not their abundance, but she gave. And so we are to give sacrificially. Okay, so that's another way to give, willingly and then sacrificially. We are to give joyfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. And then also back in scripture for that is Ecclesiastes 7, 12 through 14, where it talks about joyfully giving. We are to give obediently, generously, and we need to be consistent and give regularly. Okay? I think I've already shared that. Okay. And then lastly, the last thing I have is Luke 16. verses 1 through 3. This is a parable of the unjust steward. It says, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, talking to himself, self, huh? What shall I do? That thing was funny to me when I read. Oh, my goodness. Okay. The Bible is funny. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. And then moving down to verses 10 through 13, he who is faithful in what is least, I'm sorry, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so here, just some points I want to pull out of that. Every steward will have to give an account of his stewardship to God. Yes. Okay? So remembering, everything belongs to God. He has given us rule over, you know, those things. And we're going to have to give an account. Okay, Apostle Lindsay on Sunday, he's like, one appointment that we're not going to be able to miss. That's Judgment Day. Yeah. We're not that, you know, and we got to stand. We got to be able to give an account for everything, every word. I mean, even being a steward of our conversations. I mean, everything. Nothing is ours. Nothing. Help me. if you are not faithful in your stewardship, you can lose it. And this is based on the story in the parable. Let's see. The steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. You know? So if we're not faithful over things, our leaders come to us and say, okay, well, we thank you for serving in evangelism and outreach for this amount of time, but we're going to put somebody else in their place that you haven't served. You know, we can't get upset. We have to be good stewards, and they have to be good stewards over this house that God has entrusted them with. So, you know, that's their stewardship. So, you know, just move out the way. Yeah, just keep it moving, you know. Just keep it moving. Yes, ma'am. You know, Lord, forgive me. Will y'all forgive me? You know, and you back up whoever leading and get yourself together. You know, keep it moving. We lose the goods of the owner. That God tests your faithfulness in little before he gives you more of his good to manage. So we've got to be faithful over the little. But if you are unfaithful in the little, don't expect God or man to give you more to manage. You know, and sometimes even on our secular jobs, you know, we're waiting on a promotion, we want certain things, but we're late all the time. Our lunch break 30 minutes, we take 40. You know, just little things like that. So we got to be good stewards there as well. And I remember a coworker, she posted on Facebook. And I was like, she's talking about me. But what she said is, don't tell me anything about your God if you can't get to work on time. And that particular morning, I had overswept. Wow. And then about 2 hours later, Prophet posted on Facebook about stop oversleeping. Well, Lord. Well. Yeah. God, ouch. I'm like, what? She's like, the co-worker said, people are looking. Like, I ain't saying nothing too late. You know, it's like, okay. All right, bless the Lord. So people do, they are watching. If you say you love God, if you say you serve him, and you say you evangelist so-and-so, and prophet so-and-so, and preacher so-and-so, they watching, and they looking. And they're not looking to see how much scripture you know. They watching to see if you live in it. Every area. The next point, what it says here, God gives us money to practice with. But if we can't be faithful in our management of the money, God can't trust us with the spiritual riches of the kingdom, with the gifts, the revelation, and the power. Never giving his own finances and property until he becomes a faithful steward over another man's property. And so, you know, taking care of the house of God, there's a story, I can't remember where it is, but where is it? Where God's house was in ruins, laid in ruins. It's in the Old Testament. Yeah, and God's house was in ruins, but their house, you know, paneled and, you know, panel walls, plush. Yeah. And God's house is laying waste. But, you know, we got to be a good steward over God's house. We got to be a good steward over God's house. Amen. That's basically all I have. In conclusion, just remember that everything belongs to God, body, mind, soul, money, everything, your job, every single thing belongs to God. And, you know, my prayer tonight, not to let this teaching just be for information purposes only, but let's apply it. Let's make it applicable to our lives. Let's apply this word. You know, there is a set time for Judgment Day. We don't know when it is, but we know that it's coming.
Yes.
And we need to live each day, you know, with that mindset. Okay, this might be the day Jesus is coming. So, you know, just obey the commandments. Be a good steward over everything, every single thing. That God has given us. That was when we did our holy consecration revival. That Friday night, I was leaving, and I was just about at the exit to get home, and I heard a bell. I mean, it was just crystal, it was clear. And I'm like, anybody else hear that bell? You know, I had two of my daughters in the car, my grandkids. I'm like, anybody else heard that bell? And probably she was like, well, that signifies a set time. I'm like, okay, a set time. I thought, set time for what? You know, you can think about the other stuff. You're thinking, oh, my car coming. Oh, my husband coming. Oh, you know, just stay spiritual. Stay spiritual. But God, when I inquired of the Lord about that, and he led me to Revelation 22 and 14, he's talking about the second coming of Christ. You know, there is a set time, and he is coming. And, you know, we got to live with that expectancy. We got to live, you know, we just, that holiness and sanctification and consecration is our lifestyle. And we just got to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions? Comment?
You, so much you touched on the stewardship of conversation. That I never really thought about that.
You know, I mean, we know that we have to give an account for everything, but how many times do we just sit and chitter or chatter, you know, just crazy stuff or whatever. So that was vital. And then also you said the willingness when we give, you know, make sure it comes from a pure place, a good place. You know, I wouldn't want nobody to give me something and they complaining about it.
Exactly.
Grumbling about it and then turn around and say, well, if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't. No. Right. I'd rather for you to keep it. But I think that's important, that, that giving comes from a pure foundation. A good teaching.
There's a scripture that talks about idle words. Idle words. I'm not sure where that is, but we do. We really have to be careful. From, you know, we say things. Probably just, girl, you so crazy.
Yes.
We have to watch what we're speaking to. Yeah. Speak things. Speaking things.
Amen.
Well, I just want to add too, and I know many people have overlooked this verse because you overlooked it, and I'm sure it wasn't meaningful, but. Where I think it was in Leviticus, and you were talking about the tenth. The next verse says that if any redeems their tithe, then they have to add a fifth part. So God actually instituted the first late fee.
Wow.
When a person, when he said, I don't know, you can go back to that scripture if you like.
What is it?
When he says, if any man redeems all of his tithe, in other words, if you use it for something else, then he said they have to bring that, and he said add a fifth part.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
So they owe
the fifth part. Oh, that's crazy.
To redeem any of his tithes, he shall add 1/5 to it. Wow.
So that's actually 15%. Wow. So somebody's late or used it to pay the bills, or like you said.
Look at that.
Now, let me tell y'all, utilize the PayPal, the online. So you don't be late.
Don't be late.
When my check go in, I try to get right on there. You know, sometimes I like to bring it. Something about bringing it to the house.
15%. But it's at a add a fifth part. So that's
5%. Imagine getting a bill. From the Lord.
Late fees.
Late fees.
Late fees.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Knock.
And one more. I just want to just bring scripture to that statement that I made about Peter and Jesus. That's Luke 5. Luke 5 that... And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of the Lord, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships, Luke 5, verse 2, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. In other words, there were so many people, he told Peter, can I get this boat and push me out a little bit so I can see me? And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. In other words, Jesus said, okay, you let me use your boat, let me bless you.
Wow.
And so when Peter, Lord, we taught all night long, we didn't taught nothing. And so, verse 6, but Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke.
Wow.
And so they begged them to the court. They actually needed help with the harvest. So
wow.
I think that's another thing that we don't understand as stewardship.
That's
when you give something to God, just get ready.
You know,
we had to pray that prayer yesterday in noonday prayer because some of the saints are just being tremendously blessed to the point they're not sleeping, they're not eating. I mean, they don't have time. And I had to actually pray and ask God to help them manage the overflow.
Thank you for that prayer.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, people, I'm telling you, people tapping into that thing. And ooh. So, yeah, that's Luke 5.
Amen. That's awesome.
Awesome,
Jesus. I think, and you mentioned too, like when we give it, release when we release it, releases God's hand. And I think that's in Proverbs. I think Proverbs 19. I had some other notes here, but I wasn't a good steward of the notes that you gave me.
She said that too.
Well, yeah. Well, bless the Lord.
You couldn't tell.
Yeah,
you couldn't tell.
Is that your
Hey, Amen. Well, that's all I have for tonight, and we can stand there no further questions or comments.